AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Hello, Pod. I'm Chris Hewitt, and welcome to what I believe is the 9th episode of the show that we've called The Shameless Plug, in which I sit down every month, every 4 weeks, on the dot, on a Wednesday. Here we are, 4:30 p.m. in the studio with the editor of Empire, Mr. Nick Desemlian, and we talk you through the stories behind the latest issue of Empire magazine, which is on sale right now, the world's biggest movie magazine, all good, evil, and virtual news agents. Nick is here. Hello, Nick.
Hello, Chris. I like to think of this as us unpacking the issue, but also unpacking our issues.
Yeah.
Of which I have some today.
So unwisely, many issues.
Unwisely, we're recording this on press day, which we haven't done before.
No, we record this every single time on press day. That's the way it works.
No, it's the week before.
Nope, so we record every single time on press day.
Oh my gosh.
Every single time.
This is very press day of me to forget that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been it's a hell of an issue that we're just finishing, but it's been exhausting and draining. And so my life essence, I feel like a Demogorgon.
Oh, well, that's a good segue. Look at that. Because on the cover of the December issue of Empire magazine, issue 447, we're barreling ever closer to 450. Any plans?
Yeah. Sleep, maybe.
No. Yeah, because we're about to finish 448. We're about to start 449.
No plans for 450.
I wouldn't bother.
We did do something for 400, but I don't know if 450 requires it. But let us know if you disagree.
Yeah,
and we'll start. We'll pull something together very quickly.
And we will do the listener question thing at some point.
Yeah, I'm keen.
You've lost the questions. Yeah, I've lost the questions. So send them in if more listener questions. Send in your old listener questions, and then send in new ones as well if you want to know anything about how this wonderful magazine, this bastion of British movie journalism, is made. But on the cover, Nick, you hinted at it heavily. We're entering the upside down for on the cover of the brand new issue of Empire magazine, world exclusive, the fifth and final season of Stranger Things.
Yes. This is a big one.
Oh, this is huge. I'm so excited.
This is as big as TV gets. It genuinely is. This show
clearly you haven't seen the Fallen Rise original, Perrin.
Does it have a Demogorgon in it?
No, close.
A word which I still cannot spell, but I'm working on it.
I didn't get where I am today, but not being able to spell Demogorgon. That's a Reggie Perrin reference.
Yes. So this month, as Chris says, turning Empire up to 11 with a Stranger Things.
That's clever.
Thanks, that took me hours. we've been covering this show since it started in 2016. I remember Millie Bobby Brown was tiny. She was so young back then, and we did a photo shoot with her in a hotel for our review of the year where she was in the corridor, and we did some sneaky visual effects, so it looked like it was turning into the Upside Down.
What?
And that was now 9 years ago, so now the show is finally about to unleash its epic conclusion, epic in every sense, because the episodes are incredibly long. They are like movie length each, and that was the case with the last season as well. I watched the last season, I remember it vividly, because I had COVID, and I was quite ill, and I was in a feverish state, and this was, when was the last season? A few years back. And I was quite delirious, so I was having a lot of bad dreams about Vecna, and then waking up, and then watching more, having some Lemsip Max, and then having another nightmare. It was quite an experience. It's got more and more epic. It's, the forces of darkness have amplified with the arrival of Vecna, the big bad play by Jamie Campbell-Bauer.
Not Vecna.
Yeah.
Yes, Jamie Campbell-Bauer. I remember I met him at the Empire Awards years ago. Lovely chap.
Very un-Vecna-like.
Lovely chap.
And we have spoken to him, but we'll get to that. But yeah, this was a very long in the making cover. We have been talking to Netflix and the Duffer Brothers about this for...
Who are the creators of Stranger Things?
Creators of Stranger Things.
Yep.
Who would win in a fight between the Duffers and the Russos? We'll find out.
I think the Duffers are younger. And also the word Duff is in their name, so they would Duff the Russo brothers in.
The Russos know the Avengers.
Yeah, but you can't call upon your friends. I mean, these guys know... Well, actually, they both know Millie Bobby Brown, so...
Yeah. And who would David Harbour join? Because he's in Marvel, but then also in Stranger Things, so...
Whatever side Lily Allen isn't on.
Yeah, probably true. So yes, anyway, we wanted to make this cover feel epic. A lot of conversations went on. We did have one harebrained idea near the beginning about doing Empire's first upside-down cover.
How would that work?
We never worked it out.
I mean, how would that have worked?
Just look like a printing error. No, I had
would all the text have been upside down, but the picture would have been right way up, or would the picture have been
the wrong
way?
That's a better idea than my one. We had an idea about doing a let me get this straight, a vertical gatefold, right?
Uh-huh.
So you pull the magazine cover down and it creates like a double cover, and the image on the cover would be upside down at the bottom, so it would be like a mirror. So anyway, we didn't do it because it was rubbish. But we talked about it. That's the main thing.
That's exactly.
And it would have won awards, or maybe just confused people.
Possibly.
Anyway,
So instead, what you've come up with is this cover. All right. I'm not even going to say full disclosure, because people who listen to the Empire podcast regularly will know I have never seen a single second of Stranger Things. I know nothing about Stranger Things.
Can you
name
any of these characters?
I know that Millie Bobby Brown was 11. She's now 43. I know that Finn Wolfhard is Jack. Mm-hmm. I don't know the names of any of the other actors.
Finn Wolfhard is Mike.
Okay, Mike.
I cannot emphasize that enough.
From left to right, we have Stewie.
Dustin.
Barnaby. 43,
Will,
Jack,
Mike, and Lucas,
and Barnaby the second,
and the monster is called John.
The monster is called John.
So memorize those names. No, this look, just because you haven't seen it,
yes,
you should watch it. It's anyone who hasn't seen Strange Things, genuinely some of the best. It's like a proper blockbuster movie, but much longer, and. And it's all set in Hawkins.
About?
It's all set in the 80s in this small town in Hawkins. There's some nice synchronicity in this issue, which is that we also have a giant Back to the Future exclusive where we talk to Michael J. Fox and Christopher Lloyd. And in an episode of Stranger Things, they go to a screening of Back to the Future when it came out. So, and basically it's a giant war between good and evil. There is, you know, a rift. There's a parallel dimension. Scientists have been doing... sinister experiments, and they've opened a portal to hell, essentially, and all these terrifying monsters are scuttling and slithering their way through. And Vecna is genuinely, who's kind of Freddy Krueger on steroids, is genuinely a very scary and disturbing monster. And,
yikes.
And it's genuinely got huge. Winona Ryder's in it. It's a lot of fun.
I know things about it. I've just never seen it. But,
it's become huge. It's Netflix's biggest thing in many, many countries. And it's got a lot of celebrity fans. Robert Downey Jr. dressed up as a character from Strange Things. In fact, his whole family for Halloween dressed up as Strange Things characters.
Wow.
A few years back. So, yeah, it's a big deal.
That's exciting.
It's a big deal. So it was a kind of a no-brainer for us to do it. And yeah, we were the first. Or are the first. We first magazine cover, first interviews of everyone.
Wow.
Got lots of exclusive images from the new season, the final season.
Which is on, it starts November, right?
Yeah.
And Christmas, it finishes in Christmas.
It's in two parts. I believe the finale is airing on New Year's Day.
Mm. Wow.
New Year's Eve and then New Year's Day.
Wowzers.
So, yeah.
So we have the Duffer Brothers.
We have the Duffer Brothers. That's feature one, cover story part one.
Okay.
So much like the final season, we split it into.
Very good.
And the Duffer Brothers are very kind of... interesting and funny as they talk about their journey with the show and what's in store and how absolutely giant this final season is going to be and how difficult all the bits of dust are in the Upside Down.
Exciting.
They were quite stressed about dust. Yeah.
Okay.
So that's in the piece. And then for the second part, we talk to, I call them the kids, but maybe they're not kids now.
They're all somehow older than us,
nine
which
years
is wild.
In the making. But we talk to the gang, the core gang, and also Jamie Campbell Bauer, aka Vecna. So we talked to Millie Bobby Brown, we talked to Finn Wolfhard, we talked to Noah Schnapp, Caleb McCafflin, Gaten Matazzaro. Yeah, I don't think I've left anyone out.
Mm-hmm.
And I butchered the names, apologies there. But and we did an oral history of Strange Things. So they're basically all of them talking about how the show changed their lives, the ups, the downs, the upside downs.
Yeah. That's good.
Thanks, man.
That's good. Sorry.
I was going to pause until you acknowledge that.
No.
And then we've also done little breakouts on some of the kind of zeitgeisty moments the show has got trending. So the Kate Bush moment from the last season. Where,
see, even I know about that.
Yeah. What do you know about that?
Well, I know that they used the song Running Up That Hill, right? Yeah. It was at the end of one of the episodes, and it went absolutely nuts and kind of got people re-interested in Kate Bush again, which is a big reason why she's back in the public eye after so many years away, and is huge. So that's good.
Yeah.
See, I know some stuff.
And do you know who Barb is?
No, I don't know who Barb is. Because this is a show, because, you know, as you know, I read a lot about shows sometimes as well. I'll deliberately, you know, check the Wikipedia updates. I haven't done Stranger Things. Maybe I'm saving myself for it all to finish, and then I will watch it and on one glorious, glorious epic session.
Well, spoiler alert, Barb is a character who gets killed by a Demogorgon.
Barb!
In season one, and played by Shannon Purser, and people got very upset, and hashtag justice for Barb was trending everywhere. And some people are still upset about it, and there's badges and there's petitions and there's rumors that they're going to somehow bring her back in the final season. And so we spoke to Shannon about all that, and breaking the internet.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
I also know that Frank Darabont has directed a couple of episodes.
Does that not get you excited?
Yeah.
Wow. Oh.
Yeah. First time he's directed anything since The Mist.
Yeah.
In 2007. So
I think he's doing more than one episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's amazing.
So that is very, very exciting indeed. So Stranger Things on the cover then. So shall we talk cover lines real quick?
Sure.
And then we can dive deep into what's left in the magazine as well. So Stranger Things, welcome to the end. Inside the apocalyptic finale of the pop culture smash, Clooney and Sandler, two icons talk.
Three icons talk, really, because John Nugent was there interviewing them.
I see.
But we did. We couldn't fit Nugent on.
That's great. Well done. Well done, John Nugent.
John is kind of our Venice beat man, so we send him to Venice. And he cruises around on a gondola talking to A-listers. He had a good year this year. He, among other things, sat down for a good chunk of time with George Clooney and Adam Sandler. And this is exciting, right?
No, I'm so happy for John. this is great. One of the many people to talk to Adam Sandler over the last few weeks who are not me.
How many times have we tried to get Adam Sandler in the magazine?
Many, many times.
Over the years. And we have never succeeded until this issue. So this is Empire's first print interview. We did have him on the podcast for Spaceman.
Yes.
But we have never...
Spaceman.
We have never talked to him for the magazine until now, and we got him and George Clooney together. So it's a bit of a coup, and it's a really fun chat. I'm gonna
Stars align. Let's just go straight to the feature. This is a Stars Align as a headline, and in there is John Nugent, a man who doesn't even appreciate Hubie Halloween, talking to Adam Sandler and his hanger-on friend, George, am I right?
George Clooney.
Yes, George Clowney. This is for Jay Kelly, their new movie, which is very, very exciting. And obviously, I loathe and envy John and will hunt him down and make him pay for this crime. But
if you've always wanted to know what Adam Sandler thinks of Batman and Robin, this feature will definitively satisfy you. He calls it solid as a rock. They talk about the favorites that they have of each other's films. It's just it's a really fun back and forth. And, you know, you'd never would have imagined those two doing anything together. It's just a very unlikely double act, but it's very joyous.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm very, very excited about this movie. I haven't seen it yet. Jay Kelly looks great. Love Clooney, love the Sandman, mildly tolerant of John Nugent. So that's good. That's good.
I mean, it's good.
Yeah.
I mean, it's good.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's good. I can't do it. Like, I can't put it aside. I'm so deeply jealous. Helen got to do a Q&A with the Sandman.
Did you not talk to him for Spitchamon?
It doesn't matter. Does
it matter the medium?
I want him to myself.
You don't want to share him.
I don't want to share the Sandman.
One of the creepiest things ever been said on the Shameless Plug, but let's move on.
I don't want to share the Sandman.
No. It's got weird. It's got heavy.
Let's move on.
Okay.
Let's move on.
Yeah. So are we going back to the cover?
No, that's good. That's good of features, right, because the cover lines, yep, they're great, but they kind of give away what's in the issue.
True.
Back to the Future at 40, Sigourney Weaver, Wake Up Dead Man, yeah, and then, of course, Robert Redford Remembered. We'll get to that in a second. There's a very special Robert Redford obituary in this issue. I don't think you can say it's an obituary, really. It's more of a personal remembrance of Robert Redford.
It's fantastic.
It is.
David Lowery, who directed Robert Redford in two films, The Old Man and the Gun and Pete's Dragon.
Yes.
And he wrote this piece and genuinely put so much effort into it. Like, he did different drafts. I know Beth Webb, our intrepid news editor, was talking to him directly about this, and he was making tweaks right up until we went to press. Mm-hmm. And I remember he tweaked the ending, and it was already great. But, like, shortly before we went to press, David Lowery was like, I've got a new ending. And it's a really, really beautiful piece, I got to say.
Can all writers do that? Or
yeah, no, it's not to be encouraged. Only David, if you haven't directed Pete's Dragon, don't do that.
Yeah, specifically, you have to have directed Ain't Them Body Saints. That's the only criteria we will accept.
Just a shout out to David Lowery as well for being a damn good egg and coming to our all-nighter screen at Picture House last summer without us knowing. None of us had any awareness this was going to happen, but we hosted an Empire screen at the Picture House all-nighter. And there was a guy just sitting on his own in the front row, and we sort of came into the room and waiting for everything to start, and one of us was like, is that David Lowery?
Mm-hmm.
Is that David Lowery, the director, like, sitting there? And he was, and then we started chatting to him, and he was great. And so I got to watch The Frighteners with David Lowery in the audience, and he was lovely. So
I think he left before The Descent.
which is a scary film.
It's a scary film. But yeah, that was very, very kind of him to write our Robert Redford obituary. Obviously, Redford passed away recently, and we wanted to do something a bit more personal for that. And of course, he directed him in his last movie. Yeah. Technically, in terms of release dates, Avengers Endgame is Redford's last film, that one scene cameo he did, but The Old Man and the Gun was almost designed as his last film. It was his last lead film, it was the last film he shot. He shot it after Endgame. And it's such a wonderfully elegiac farewell to the screen. It's a great film. If you haven't seen it, check it out, The Old Man and the Gun.
And it's hard when, you know, a legend passes away and you're trying to kind of work out how much, you know, what are we going to do? How do we make, you know, there's always so much coverage online when somebody of that stature dies. And so we always have those conversations of like wanting to do justice. And obviously what stage you're at in the issue kind of makes a difference as well. Like, we don't want it to run too late. And sometimes you're just going to press and there's no time to put something together. But in this case, I feel like something really magical happened because he was genuinely off. You know, we thought of David, we reached out to him, he said yes, and then it I think it's really a beautiful tribute. So
yeah very much so. Hey, should we stick with news?
Yeah, let's stick with news.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed, but agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
What would you like to point out in the first word section, Nick, the section that Beth edits? There's a lot of heavy hitters in this month's section, a lot of big names.
Yeah, there's some good stuff. We talked to Tessa Thompson about Hedda and get very granular into her performance. We talked to Sydney Sweeney about her new boxing biopic, Christie. We go on the set of Fallout, the new season of that, which is a very buzzy, cool sci-fi show. And Scarlett Johansson and June Squibb. So there's a lot of star power. But I really got to say, I love it when we do, you know, stories that are a bit more offbeat and sort of reported and, you know, maybe not talking to a big star, but talking to someone interesting. And there's several of those in this issue. We open with Tilly Norwood, the AI so-called actress, which was very buzzy. But what I really liked about this is Beth spoke to an acting coach and actually got them to analyze her acting, her performance, so-called acting performance, whatever you call it, and sort of talk about that. So I thought that was a really interesting of way into that.
I like that.
We talked to a guy who runs a website called Does the Dog Die, which like chronicles every film and whether the dog dies. So if you're triggered by that, you know going into the film that something bad is going to happen. So like quirky, like unusual things like that. And then Tom Ellen talked to the guy whose job it was to come up with the language for Predator Badlands, the Yautja language. And so we've done a kind of a deep dive into the people whose jobs it is to come up with an imaginary language for like a sci-fi film. So, you know, Na'vi, Yautja, all this kind of stuff. So yeah, that is really, really interesting as well. And you'll pick up a few bits of Predator vocab.
The pint of milk this month is the fantastic Kristen Milioti from The Penguin. And
she's fantastic.
Yeah.
She's asked, what is your most irrational fear? And she says venomous spiders, which seems to me to be a very rational fear. But
yeah, that's completely irrational fear.
Yeah.
That's not irrational. Who did this interview? Ollie Richards. He should have pushed her on that. He should have gone, that's not an irrational fear.
He should have gone full Paxman. Just kept asking the question.
What's your most irrational fear? My most irrational fear is giving an answer to that question that isn't an irrational fear. Mm. Is that irrational? I don't know.
Mm.
But venomous spiders, they can kill you. They can fuck you up.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not irrational. Unbelievable. Anyway, she's brilliant.
I just read it properly. It does make sense. She says because she lives in New York, it's irrational because she lives in New York and there aren't any there.
Oh, I see. But so even so,
I apologize to her. I apologize to Ollie.
It's still irrational. It's still irrational fear.
Yeah.
I fear snakes. I don't expect the snake to come crawling through that door and bite me.
I don't fear spiders.
It's a rational fear to have one.
Ever since I watched Arachnophobia, I carry a nail gun with me at all times, just in case a spider jumps out of a drainpipe. Anyway, should we move on?
Yes, let's move on. We're going to the back of the magazine,
and then
we'll come back to the features.
All right. I love it. It's wild.
We've
gone full Nolan.
We're shaking it up.
You've mementoed the shit out of it.
We're going to the final cut section, which is, as everyone knows, is the best section. It's my section. It's the section I edit. There's lots of great stuff here. We have Noah Hawley talking about Alien Earth. And you're going, but hey, Chris, we subscribe to the Spoiler Specials, and we've already had Noah Hawley talking about Alien Earth. Well, this is all new stuff. All new stuff.
No, it's good stuff. The eyeball alone is maybe the thing that I'm going to take out of 2025 with me as one of the most iconic things.
Oh, it's so good.
Great
screen monsters. I was going to say movie monsters, but yeah, absolutely terrific. How do you do something new and alien that puts the willies up people and can go toe-to-toe with a xenomorph, and Noah Hawley managed it?
Do you know my least favorite thing about that guy?
Noah Hawley or the
eyeball monster.
Eyeball monster. Yeah.
Which has got a name, but I always forget it.
The Octagon Keith.
Mr. Starry.
Mr. Starry. Barnaby Part 2.
The most frightening thing about it is the way it uses its tentacle to like catapult itself across the room at people.
Yes.
Like, because you look at it and you're like, okay, that's horrendous, but at least it's going to move slowly and it's going to scuttle around like a spider.
That's real. That's going to kill me.
Imagine if a spider, a venomous spider, could fling itself across the room at you. I mean, it's bad. Yeah. It's real bad.
It's real, real bad. What's the thing you like least about Noah Hawley?
I don't. I like everything about him.
Really?
If
you were pushed, if you could say one thing you didn't like about him. Mm. He won't listen to this. It's fine.
I didn't love the X-Men TV show he did.
Wow, I'm telling him. I am telling him. That's it. You are fucking cancelled.
Worse than the other ones.
What, okay. Legion? You didn't like Legion?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I didn't. It was a bit, bit much.
Yeah, I liked it. It's good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Settled. Yeah. I was wrong then.
Also in my section, there's some great stuff. Obviously, everything's brilliant and well-written, even the bits that I did. Because I did nothing this month. I think this is... I took a back seat a little bit this month. I didn't write any features, which is why they are better than normal. I wrote a few things in my section. But by and large, was I away? Was this the issue I was away for a little bit?
Let's say yes.
Yeah, let's do that. Anyway, I did speak to Sam Neill, who was great. Fun fact, Sam Neill is the first person I ever properly interviewed for Empire magazine. Mm. He was literally the first person I interviewed. First day at Empire, first actual day at Empire, was the Empire Awards in 2001. And so I was, stars were literally walking in front of me and I had to interview a whole bunch of people that day. But the first proper sit-down, 45-minute chat I ever did for Empire with Sam Neill, I was terrified. Mm. He was absolutely wonderful.
He's one of the best people you could interview. I think I've interviewed him four, maybe five times.
Yes.
He is absolutely delightful. Every time I think he's amazing. He's just a good human being.
He's a good cove. He is a good cove. Yeah. And this was an interview about how he has been a kind of accidental scream king. So basically, this issue was coming out. Obviously, we recorded after Halloween, but it was coming out in time for Halloween. So if you check my section, it's actually kind of themed. There's a lot of horror stuff in the section of the issue we're about to do. There's going to be a few Christmassy-related things in there, because that'll be out just in time for Christmas. Not to overwhelm the entire section, but just enough to give it a kind of Halloween-y, horror-y vibe without drawing attention to it.
A tinge of terror.
So we have Sam Neill on the great horror movies of his career, Possession, In the Mouth of Madness, which is coming out soon on 4K Blu-ray, Omen 3, The Final Conflict, Jurassic Park, he doesn't consider to be a horror film, but it kind of is, and of course, the one, the only, my beloved, Event Horizon, which, much to my chagrin, perhaps less beloved by Sam Neill, but that's fine. He spent a lot of it nude and covered in Swarovski.
I had a really good time last Christmas reading Sam Neill's memoir.
Yes.
If you haven't read Sam Neill's book, get yourself a copy. It is an absolute delight. Weirdly, the thing that stuck in my head most from it is him talking about the Wim Wenders movie he was in. It's like a 4.5-hour movie called Until the End of the World, and he hasn't seen it because he was promised a DVD and they never sent it to him. And he has a moan about it in the book, and he still hasn't seen it, and he saw Wim Wenders a few years back and asked him, where's my DVD? I love that kind of putting that in your memoir is fantastic.
But there you go. Sam, I love Sam. He's terrific. Orlando Bloom, also a wonderful guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Is in that. He's the time capsule this month where we sit down and we talk about movies from his past. And there's a lot of other great stuff inside that section. But let's get back to the feature section. Yeah. Nick, let's ride Pillion.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Let me just put on this gear.
Would you be, if we had a motorcycle sidecar combo, I know that's not what this movie's about necessarily, but would you want to take the motorcycle or would you want the sidecar? Would you want the Wallace or the Gromit?
Which of us is the Wallace and which of us is the Gromit?
I think we both know that.
Am I the Gromit? Both of us are Wallace, I think. We're just both Wallace.
Yeah, we're both Wallace.
So anyway, we'll ride Pillion Wallace style. This is a 5-star film. This is rated 5. This gets 5 stars. I think I can say that.
Of course you can. You're the editor of the magazine.
Why wouldn't I say it if I couldn't? But yes, we love this film. It's sort of one of those little sleeper indie movies that's come out of nowhere. It's about two men who get involved in a BDSM relationship. It's kind of a sort of easy to say. It's an unusual rom-com, let's say. A very unusual one.
A rom-com.
technically. But it's got Alexander Skarsgård in as the Dom, I believe. And Harry Melling, who you may remember as Dudley Dursley in the Harry Potter films, plays Colin.
Right.
The more submissive one, and it's about their relationship, and it's surprisingly moving and emotional and sweet, and it's got some pretty full on stuff in it, but it's really really an interesting film, and we all kind of saw it and have been talking about it for quite a few months now, and it's a first time director, Harry Lytton. So yeah. So anyway, we have talked to all of them.
That's exciting.
About this sort of unusual film and
that
sort of came out of nowhere and we can't stop talking about it.
So that is out at the end of the month, Pillion. And very excited about that. Oh, here's a good one. Here's a good one as well. Just turned the page.
Yeah.
It's Susan Weaver.
Yeah. Yep.
Better known as Susan Sigourney.
Yes, you actually confused me there. Yeah, Sigourney Weaver. So this is, I'm going to say, the penultimate paving slab on
our path.
Are
we still on this fucking path?
You're never getting off it.
Jesus!
No. We're finishing strong.
Are we?
Yeah.
I know we are, because I know we're finishing with.
No, we're finishing with a good one. I mean, we've told people what it is already, so we put out an ask for questions, so we can say
that's right
that our final entry in the issue we're just finishing now, because I've just read it, and it is absolutely brilliant, is questions from you guys, the readers, to James Cameron, Big Jim, and he took an hour out of finishing Avatar Fire and Ash to answer What I've got to say are some of the most nerdy, like joyously nerdy questions. And he answers everything in full, and there is some fantastic, some absolute gold in that.
We'll talk about it next month, but I'm convinced James Dyer has about 1,000 burner accounts and was sending in incredibly nerdy questions.
There's stuff in there that I didn't know, and it's a really fun read. But anyway, that's next issue. This issue, we swung big with this whole Path to Pandora thing, and James Cameron made every single thing happen, and we asked for a photo shoot and big interview with Sigourney Weaver. We've never done that before in Empire, and why wouldn't you ask for that? She's back in Avatar: Fire and Ash as Kiri, playing a sort of teenage girl, Na'vi girl again. And we talked to her, and my predecessor editor Terry White, the great Terry White, did that interview, and it's fantastic. The shoot is amazing. It was shot for us by Robert Ashcroft, and Terry talked for like an hour with Sigourney, and there's some incredible stuff in there.
Amazing. I'm reading the interview now. Just keep yourself occupied while I finish it.
Can I read you one line out of context?
You can read me three lines.
Sigourney
out of context.
Weaver, I'm much better at playing a girl who keeps a hedgehog in her vagina than I am at playing someone who's going shopping with a friend.
Wow, that is quite the line.
It is indeed. But she talks about, you know, Avatar, she talks about Alien and Aliens. She talks about like bursting through into the scene and just, you know, like people forget like how early on Alien was for her in her career. And she's always just been this incredible, formidable force of nature. And especially in sci-fi where she's just like rewritten all the rule books. So Sigourney Weaver, and it's an amazing shoot. She's rocking leather jacket and just looking incredible.
Incredible. Next up, one of my favorite movie stars, Sigourney Weaver, to one of my favorite movies, Back to the Future. It's 40 years old this year, and you might think, hey, you've done everything you could possibly do on Back to the Future. You've dotted every T, you've crossed every I, or vice versa. What could you possibly do that's fresh and new? Nick?
Well, we only went and got Marty McFly and Doc back together again. It took months of scheduling. They're both busy guys. They've both got a lot going on. Michael J. Fox has just written what I hear is a great book called Future Boy. And it took a while, but it came through, and our Ollie Richards got on a lengthy Zoom call with the two of them, and they were just completely delightful, apparently. And Christopher Lloyd, very funny.
Yeah.
Like it's a funny, like, wry guy. And it's, you really get a sense of their dynamic, that these guys love each other and, you know, are really, that just have a completely unique relationship where they've spent decades, you know.
Yeah, that's what I like about this, because, you know, they Fox and Lloyd have done a lot of stuff together over the years. And, you know, they pop up at Comic Cons, they do all sorts of stuff together. They're really, really great friends. And what I love about this feature is that it zeroes in that.
Exactly, yeah. Because we've done that. We've analyzed every frame of the Back to the Future films. We have celebrated, the filmmaking and the script and everything. So you're right. Like, how do you do something fresh? But yeah, this is, you know, the 40th anniversary, and these guys have known each other for 40 years. So that was what we wanted to do. Was just like, what are these two guys like together? Like, how do they interact? You know, what are their ups and downs and highs and lows? And they get into all of that. It's just the story of two guys, and you get really amazing stories. I hadn't read or heard a lot of these stories before. Ollie did a really, really good job.
Yeah,
just, you know, and it took them a little while to kind of get to know each other and get comfortable with each other, and you know, it's an amazing thing.
It is indeed an amazing thing. There's one more feature that I accidentally skipped past.
Maybe my favorite headline of the month.
Mass murder. What does that tell you about the film? The film is Wake Up Dead Man, the third, but hopefully not final, film in the Benoit Blanc series. Rian Johnson, back, back, back. Daniel Craig, back, back, back. And with an all-new, all-star cast of suspects.
No new donut.
And I suspect foul play.
Foul play. This is another mega cast. So we've talked to, you know, Josh Brolin, Josh O'Connor, Glenn Close, a whole ton of people. But, you know, Rian Johnson and Daniel Craig are kind of the heart of it, as ever. So I was rocked by the revelation that Daniel Craig plays the ukulele. Did you know this?
No.
Yeah. Apparently he was playing the ukulele on set, and presumably until he was asked to stop.
Yeah, that would drive you to murder, wouldn't it? I mean, you don't want to do that. No thanks. No thanks, Ryan. Thank you very much.
Yeah, he bought everyone in the cast their own ukulele as a wrap gift. So yeah,
next time there's lots of smashed ukuleles on the set of Wake Up Dead Man.
So next time you see Jeremy Renner, ask him how his uke playing is coming along.
Yes, Jeremy Renner's in this as a character, but he's also in a world where Jeremy Renner's hot sauce exists.
Mm.
And I'll be honest, I did a spoiler special for this film mm-hmm. with Rian Johnson. It'll be out at some point in December after the movie's out on Netflix. And I forgot to ask him about that. How does that possibly work?
I think Ben asked him for this, but I don't think he put it in the piece. So right. we'll have to talk about it next time.
Wait. There is a Renning Hot reference in the feature.
Oh, Ben, we shouldn't have
Johnson
you.
Says, I think Dr. Nat might have a bottle of it. He thinks, I love Jeremy Renner's movies. I'll get a bottle of that. But I want to know, does Dr. Nat look at himself and go, I look like Jeremy Renner?
There's more sauce in this bottle. we're gonna get to the bottle. I feel like this could be an upcoming article in your section
where
you do an oral history of the Jeremy Renner hot sauce.
I need to think long and hard about what we're going to do for Wake Up Dead Man.
Might be a cover.
So it may well be. Renning hot sauce. Subs cover. That'd have been amazing. What is the subs cover this month? Nick, what is it?
The subs cover this month is 11 and Vecna back to back entwined with tentacles and emotion.
Did it, you crazy son of a bitch. You did it. You said you've been saying you've been wanted to do this for ages. You've turned it all the way up to Vecna.
Yes, very good. Yes, and this amazing bit of art commissioned by Chris Lupton, our creative director, was illustrated by Greg Roof. The amazing illustrator.
Ruth, R-U-A-T-H or Roof, as in people can walk on him?
R-U-T-H. He's the roof man. R-U-T-H-M-A-N.
Soon to be played by Channing Tatum in an award-winning film. All right, let's talk about the thing everyone wants to talk about every month. It's the first page they turn to when they get their copy of... Yes, it's contents.
Do we do reviews? I never know if this
I mean, we mention reviews, but there's no point doing reviews because...
If you like reviews, if you love stars, there are more stars... in this section than any of the other sections.
Absolutely. And films, people like films.
Film titles.
TV shows.
Film titles and little stars.
Games,
black and sometimes red.
Yep. Books.
Yeah,
bric-a-brac.
Yeah.
Do you like bric-a-brac? Is that reviewed in John's section?
Well, we do. Just to mention one thing, we review Jay Glenny's new book, The Making of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, which is enormous. It's 170,000 words. It is incredible. He interviewed everyone and it's so detailed. I loved it. So if you love Tarantino, check that out.
That's
I learned
exciting.
Something very exciting. Viggo Mortensen. Almost, and Nicolas Cage were almost Rick Dalton and Cliff Booth.
No.
Can you believe that? I can't remember. No, I think Cage, there was talk of Cage being the DiCaprio character and Viggo being his stuntman.
I can see that.
Yeah?
I can see that, yeah.
That's an interesting parallel world.
I'm glad he landed up where he landed. All right, contents. I'm not going to go through the gags I wrote in contents. It's basically... This is a sense check of what you have changed and cut out at the last minute. I know there is one definitely that was changed, and that's for a good reason, but I'm not going to say what it was.
Yes.
It was a very risque joke. It was risque.
It was close to the knuckle. It would have seen us being closed down, the building demolished, and us living in infamy till the rest of our days.
The ground would have been salted so that nothing good could ever grow here again.
Yeah,
that sort of thing. It was just a nice joke, but I can see why it was cut. Let me see. I like this. The Hamnet joke. The first in the trilogy of poorly spelled William Shakespeare adaptations. Next up, Kong Lear and Ass You Like It. I thought you would have changed Ass You Like It because that's a bit of a... That's a bit porny.
It's got
porny connotations, but you left it in.
I left it.
So to speak. House of Dynamite. An enemy. Keep your friends close. You're an enemy's closer. Come on, that's a good one.
It's always my favorite bit of the podcast when it's you reading out your own jokes.
I barely wrote anything this month.
Okay.
Your
masterpiece is on this page.
I call a Wake Up Dead Man a who's who done it. That's good.
No, that was good, actually.
That's a good line. That's it.
That's it.
I will say there is a very good pillion gag in the next contents. Have you read the contents yet?
No, but I look forward to changing it.
Yeah. If it's shit next month, then you'll know that Nick has changed it. If it's really good, then it's the one I wrote.
If there are ass gags, Chris has struck again.
It's not an ass gag. It's a tastily deployed... I mean, it's in that area. That's what I'll say. It's in that area.
Watch out or I'll gag your ass. So many poorly chosen words.
So many poorly chosen words in this entire podcast. We should bring it to an end.
Okay. Should we mention the exciting VIP event we have coming up, which you're hosting?
Yes, yes, all aboard the Pluribus.
Yeah.
Because this is the new show from Vince Gilligan, who is the creator, of course, of Breaking Bad. And as part of that, obviously, the spin-off to Breaking Bad was Better Call Saul. And on that, he worked with Ray Seahorn, who played Kim Wexler. And they have reteamed on a new show called Pluribus, which is on Apple TV.
So we cannot give our rating out yet because it's under embargo at the moment when we're recording and when this is going out. But yep. I can say we really, really, really liked it.
Really liked it. Really.
So draw your own conclusions. It is the creator of Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul doing sci-fi. And I got to say, like, it really reminded me, what I've seen of it so far, of Vince Gilligan's X-Files work.
Yes.
He wrote some of my favorite episodes of The X-Files. So people kind of forget that he has done a lot of crazy sci-fi stuff, and this is definitely up that, you know, and it's funny and it's exciting and unpredictable, totally original. So if you can make it, it's next week. Come join us.
Come join us. We'll put details up on our socials. And of course, if you want to join the Empire VIP Club, you should do empireonline.com/VIP. It gets you a subscription to the magazine. It gets you a subscription to our spoiler special channel, which is going to be overflowing in the month of November with exclusive director interviews and Team Empire takes and all sorts of amazing stuff. And of course, it gives you the chance to come to Lee's wonderful events. There will be another one in December, which is very, very exciting well. Sign up to that. And if you don't already subscribe to the magazine and you don't want to join the VIP club, then you should do that as well. You can go to the website, empireonline.com, and look around for deals. We have lovely deals for subscribers. And while we're shamelessly plugging some more shit on the Shameless Plug Show, I should mention our next live show, the next live Empire podcast, has just gone on sale. It has been confirmed and announced. We will be doing what is ostensibly our 700th episode of the podcast, live and exclusive at King's Place in London, our spiritual home, on Friday, January 9th. Tickets are on sale right now, kingsplace.co.uk. They are flying off the proverbial virtual shelves, so you better be quick if you want to come along to see that on the night. It's going to be obviously me, it's going to be James, it's going to be Helen. Nick, you're going to come along to that as well? Be part of the celebrations?
Possibly. Yeah. Talk to my people.
It's going
to
be some, we're going to have some amazing guests. It's going to be a three-hour celebration.
No eyeball monsters.
Fecna's not going to be invited. No venomous spiders. I have an irrational fear of Fecna's. Yeah. I have an irrational fear of eyeball monsters and indeed venomous spiders.
Okay.
But you never know. We're very, very excited about that.
There's a lot of exciting things happening. And I got to this is a very vague and pointless tease, but I want to say the issue we are finishing is, I got to say, our biggest of the year. We are stoked at what is on the cover, and we're stoked about a lot of other things inside the issue. It is genuinely a total banger. We're really excited to unleash it. So please read it. That'd be nice.
On that bombshell.
Oh, God.
You really gave some welly to shameless plug at the end. Read it, I guess.
Read it if you want to.
Yeah, of course. I guess most people, when they're listening to this, have read the issue. But haven't read the issue, go out.
Let us know if you listen to this, but you don't ever read the issue, which if we put you off.
Do you think there might be people who do that? Who listen to this, but don't read the magazine?
I'd love to know.
What the fuck are they thinking?
Please let us know.
We're talking you through this.
Well, maybe you don't need to read it because we're talking about it so much.
Maybe you don't.
All right. Anyway.
All right. Okay. Anyway, on that note, that is it for this episode of The Shameless Plug. Join us back here in 4 weeks' time for Shameless Plug episode 10. And will we be talking about, nearly said it. It's very, very exciting. Very, very exciting indeed. But anyway, all that remains is to say goodbye to my one colleague and neighbor and friend and hero, an icon of such lethal cunning.
Thanks, man.
Nick. Sorry. I can never get your name right. This is so embarrassing. I know it begins with a D. Oh, dear. No. Just stay there. Oh, no, I've gone right past your editor's letter. Oh, it's usually in your editor's letter. Genuinely, where is it? Oh, here it is. Dissemblian. Nick Dissemblian. Bye, Nick.
Thanks, man. Like Marty and Doc, we're out of time.
Have we been friends for 40 years? Do you think we'll be friends for 40 years? Will you be my friend in 40 years' time?
Did we just become friends?
I think we did.
I feel like we were friends. It's sliding into frenemy territory.
Hey, Nick, you know what friendship is? It's running up that hill. Thanks for listening. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.